We're holding Tehillim, Perek Tet, and this chapter is a very difficult chapter. There are multiple understandings to what the focus of the chapter is. And to make life more difficult, one of the understandings that Rashi gives us is that this chapter is talking about Esav, and because the Christians knew that many of the Rishonim were of the opinion that Esav is represented by Christianity nowadays. That's the majority opinion. So therefore, they censored out a lot of Rashi. In general, in Tehillim, Rashi deals with Christianity in a few places, because some of the Christian claims stem from Tehillim, and therefore they censored that out. So a lot of the Tehillim that you're going to be looking at, if you're following with a Tehillim with Rashi, won't have some of the Rashi. And I'd like to quote that Rashi, because I have an edition that was put out by the Bar-Ilan University that uses the original manuscripts of Rashi, which do discuss Esav. So we're going to start the Mizmar, and we'll spend a few minutes on the first Pasuk, because that gives us the theme, what we're talking about here. And after that, we'll try to run through it like we usually do. Lamnatzeach. This is a song for the conductor. Almut Laben Mizmor LeDavid. It's a song for David regarding, now what are these two words, Almut Laben? So traditionally, these two words have a hyphen between them, right? That line is called a hyphen. Mm-hmm. Yep. So the question is it one word or two words? The Gemara itself ponders this question. Is Almut one word or two words? And the Rishonim will discuss, how do we explain this word? Is it al, regarding mut, the death of laben? What is laben? We'll discuss that in a second. Or is it almut laben? If it's almut laben, if almut is one word, then what does the word almut mean? We know that the word alamut means youth. Elim is a young child, and almut could mean youth. So what is the Mizmar talking about? It's talking about either the death of, or the childhood of, the youthfulness of Laben. What is Laben? Is Laben to the son? Or is there a person who is known as Laben? Mm-hmm. Well, in the rest of Tanakh, we don't encounter this person named Laben. So, is it the name of a person? Or, sometimes in Tanakh, we have words that the spelling is inverted. Is we have the word Kesev and Keves, which are the same word, but the spelling is inverted. Right? And so we have many words.
Is this the Christian claim, Almut Laben, like the on the death of the son?
I don't know what they claim, but let's see just a second what the possible understandings of the Mizmar is. It could be the death of the son. David HaMelech had a son that died after he sinned with Bathsheba, so then she became pregnant, and he was told that that first child is going to die. The next child was Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon. But it could be that this is the song that David compiled regarding the death of that son. The problem is, then it should say, Almut ha-ben. What's la-ben to the son? That doesn't fit exactly. Mm. It could be regarding the death of Naval. We know that there was a wealthy person named Naval who was from the tribe of Yehuda. He was a relative of David's, and he cursed David out. And after he cursed David out, he died a few days later. And David ended up marrying his wife, Abigail. And that's could be the regarding the death of Naval. And Naval is spelled backwards, Laban.
Is Lavan spelled with a Vav or a
with a bet? But then it should be Lavan, not Laban.
We have vowels in tradition? Or
yeah.
Pronunciation.
And the third translation, if Almut is regarding the death, is it could be regarding the death of an enemy called Laban, who we don't know any history about, but the Navi isn't a history book, so it doesn't tell us every enemy there was. But this was one enemy who made many problems for King David and the Jews at large, and he was called Laban. Now you know there's a new enemy called Laban. He was around, and he's history. Yeah.
Also Alimut.
Yeah, but then it doesn't, that they don't say that that's the definition. And the other understanding would be that it's almut regarding the youthfulness, laben, of the sun? No, of the making white. Like lavan, lilaben is to make white. And King David is speaking about the fact that God gives the Jewish people eternal youthfulness in that he was willing to whiten their sins. So we have here many possibilities what this chapter is talking about. Another possible understanding, if you want a sixth understanding, is that Laben is called Lehavin, to give understanding. That a conductor should give the song to the type of musical instrument called Almut. We know that there were Alamot, which were some kind of musical instrument. So then Almut is some kind of musical instrument. Laben, teach the following song, give over understanding, Mizmor LeDavid, the song of David. So whichever understanding you want to go with, no one else knows That's what the right sure. understanding is. So we also don't know. It's one of these understandings, hopefully. David HaMelech says, just a second. There's an understanding over here that... It says,
and the rest of the psalm gives no hint to the...
Oh, so we'll see the rest of the song, and then we'll think back what this was talking about.
Okay.
Okay, let's begin. So we're holding Pasuk Beis. Odeh Hashem b'chol libi. I will thank Hashem with my whole heart. I will tell over all of your great actions. We should take note that there is a word that shows up many times in Ashrei, and that is the word kol, all, as though it's going to be all-encompassing. Let's think of Ashrei. B'chol yom avarcheka. Tov Hashem lakol, v'rachamav al kol ma'asav. Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha. Malchuscha malchus kol olamim, u'memshaltecha bechol dor vado. Sumech Hashem lechol hanofdim, v'zokef lechol hakefufim. Ein nechol elecha yisaberu. Posech es yodecha u'masbia lechol chai rotzon. Tzadik Hashem bechol tirachav, v'chasid bechol ma'asav. Korov Hashem lechol korav, lechol asher yikru be'emes. Shomei Hashem es kol o'avav, v'es kol ha'ashem yashmid. V'ivorech kol bosar Hashem kocho lo'olam ve'ed. The word kol shows up 10-15 times throughout the chapter. As though all the good people will have all the good in the world, and all the bad people have all the bad in the world. And Hashem takes care of all the people all the time, whenever they need, He gives them everything that they need. It's a perek that's praising, and as part of the praise, it makes everything all. Now, it's not an exaggeration, but we should take note of it.
Which we're beginning.
That's Ashrei, Tilal David.
That's
not here. What's the connection to here? Odeh Hashem bechol libi. David HaMelech begins, when we see the word kol, we should know, oh, it's part of the praise. I will thank Hashem with all of my heart. Usually when something good happens to a person, he says thank you. How much of his heart is in that thank you? Our heart is much more in asking for what we need than in saying thank you after we've gotten it. Says David HaMelech, I will thank Hashem with my whole heart. Asapera, I will tell over kol niflotecha. All the amazing things you do, what's he referring to? So one understanding says, that David HaMelech is saying that the future redemption that Hashem will give the Jewish people, that I will tell all of it over.
Rashi is saying it's from Esav. He says Laban is Esav.
No. Wait, we didn't get to that yet. We'll get to that. Esmecha ve'el tzabach, I will be happy, I will rejoice with you, Hashem. You are my source of my happiness and redemption, and rejoicing. I will sing to your name that is exalted, that is over everything else.
Why is it in the future like this?
I will when I will be redeemed. In the future redemption. Rashi learns this is talking about the ultimate redemption. So then, David HaMelech is davening now, Hashem, bring about that great redemption, and I will tell everyone, I will thank you with my whole heart, I will be happy, I will sing to your great name. Whichever trouble David is talking about, is it the fact that his son died? Is it the fact that this enemy has come against the Jewish people? He is talking about some future redemption. Either it's the future redemption from a present problem he had, or the future redemption of the whole Jewish people. He says, I will be happy, I'll rejoice in you, and I will sing your exalted upper name. When my enemies have to recede, they will stumble, they will be lost from before your face. Because you have done my mishpat and my din. This one understanding is in heaven, you have taken them to task, and therefore they're losing on earth their battles. Another understanding is that mishpat could also mean revenge. You have taken my revenge, you have done my case. You have sat upon your throne, you Hashem, who is the righteous judge. Says Rashi, and this Rashi was censored. Mm-hmm. Says Rashi.
It's also what we're saying today in the Parsha, like, thank God for everything He gives you, but we haven't been doing that. He says we will do it, and we haven't been.
I didn't follow that.
Like everything Hashem has done for the army that you were saying, like all the miracles and all this kind of stuff, He says we will thank you in all of your things, and we haven't been doing it.
Like right, we should do that. Right, for sure we should do that. We'll get to the Rashi. Ga'alta goyim ibadta rasha. You yelled at the goyim, you made the rasha lost. Shma machita lolam va'ed. You have erased their name forever. Ha'oyev. Now here, it's interesting. The way this pasuk has to be read, according to the cantillation marks, is as follows. Ha'oyev tamu choravot lanetzach. And this is the major pause in the pasuk, under the word lanetzach. The enemy, tamu, is ceased. Choravot lanetzach. Choravot could either mean their swords are going to be remembered for eternity, or choravot could stem from the word charev, destroyed. Their destruction is eternal. The enemy has ceased, and they will be destroyed eternally. Darim natashta, and the cities that you have destroyed, uprooted, avad zicham heima. The city's remembrance has been lost, and they too should have their remembrance lost, these enemies. Says Rashi. Ha'oyev tamu. The enemy has ceased. Ki choravot, because the swords of hatred are lanetzach. They have been eternal. One of the traits that the Navi stresses that Esav has is ve'evrato shemara netzach. Esav is unforgiving. His hatred is eternal. And as such, because his hatred is eternal, and he constantly tries to damage and harm us, therefore his destruction will also be eternal. But the pasuk is telling us that the source of the destruction of Esav is the fact that their hatred was eternal. And this Rashi was censored, so you don't have in the standard Rashi.
That's pretty important. It's pretty important that it was censored too. It shows exactly what he's talking about. Like who censored it.
Some of the censors quote the Rashi and they say it's talking about Amalek. That's one thing the censors sometimes did. It's interesting that this pasuk is applied to non-Jews, it seems, the enemy. And in a few minutes, after we finish the pasuk, we'll come back. After we finish the parak, we'll come back to this pasuk, and we'll see an application that our sages applied this pasuk. Vadonai lo'olam yeshev, and Hashem, His throne is eternal. Konen la mishpat kiso. He establishes His throne for justice. What does that mean, Hashem's throne is eternal? We say that Hashem's throne is lacking so long as Amalek is in the world. We say that the fact that evildoers last, they're not destroyed the second they do evil, that makes it that God's throne is not complete. When you look around the world, you see, hey, people are successful even though they're sinning. So the greatest representative of sin in the world is Amalek. And so long as they're here, we say God's throne, so to speak, is not complete. because you look around and the world is not complete. Part of what we're saying on Rosh Hashanah, we're saying, Hashem, you're the king, you're running the show, even though we don't see it by the naked eye. We look around and we don't see it with the naked eye. But nonetheless, we recognize that you're the one running the show, and therefore we're accepting you as king. And that's the, on the one hand, we say Malchuyot, we say God is kings. Zichonot, we mention the remembrance of the Zichuyot that we had of the Akedah. And Shofarot, we say we're waiting for that eternal horn to be blown, the shofar, in which you will again reveal your complete kingdom. That's what we say in the Shmoneh Esrei also. We say, Uvchen ten pachtecha Hashem. Hashem, we want you to reveal yourself. Uvchen tzadikim yiru v'yirau. The tzadikim will see how God is running the show. They will be happy, and everyone will repent, and all the nations will come and serve Hashem. That's after Amalek is out of the world, when everyone will recognize, okay, Hashem's running the show. So when David HaMelech is describing the period of time when the enemy will be finally wiped out, then he says, V'Hashem l'olam yashev. And God's throne is eternal. God's throne always was and always will be. We might not have an easy time recognizing it today, but nonetheless, God's throne is eternal. Yeah.
Sorry, the Amalek exists. We don't know who, where it is, but we know it exists.
That's for a different class. Amalek exists. Whether we know who it is or don't know, so halachically we treat it as though we don't know, but philosophically we treat it as though we do know. And so long as we're being recorded, we'll leave it at that. Pasuk Tet, Vehu Yishpot Tevel B'Tzedek, Hashem will judge the world righteously. Yadin lumim b'meisharim. He judges the nations with just straight laws. And we say that Hashem ordinarily judges the world as best as possible. When He judges them, He does it at night, when everyone's sleeping. You're not sinning a lot. You stand in front of the judge and you sin, so I say, what? That's ridiculous. You're taking drugs in my courtroom? What kind of defense can you claim? So God judges the people when they're sleeping. So that's a way of, at least at the time that they're being judged, they're not sinning. So they'll have a better outcome in the court case. So Hashem is judging even the nations b'meisharim, in the straight, the best possible way. V'hi Adonai misgav ladach. Hashem is the protector, the strength of the poor, the dach. Misgav leitot batzara. Hashem is the one, He is the strength of those that encounter periods of tzara, that things go bad in the world. Their strength is from Hashem. And this is the story that we've given time and again. The man that when he dies, he sees his life laid out before him like footsteps on the beach. And he's told, one is mine, God says, and one is yours. And the guy looks at the footsteps, and every time he sees a difficult period in his life, he says, God, I don't understand. All the difficult periods of in my life, there's only one footstep. Why'd you leave me? Why? In those difficult times. And God answers him. He says, this is a joke that people say, but the message is true. God says, at those times, that's not your footstep. You see, that's my footstep. I was carrying you in those times. When people have hard times, they have to know that the same one who gives us a situation also gives us the strength to deal with it. So one has to know that in difficult times, it's not that Hashem has left him, but rather Hashem is giving him extra strength to stand up to those times. Like the Pasuk says, Matzlef lazahav, Matzlef lakesef v'chul lazahav. There are different melting pots in which you refine gold. The gold is refined in a kur, and the zahav is refined, and the silver is refined in a matzlef. Each one has their specific melting pot. The ish in every person, the fimalalo. God refines them according to what's fitting for Him. God knows our strength, and God knows how to help us bring those strengths out. And Hashem always helps us and gives us the strength to stand up to difficult situations. V'ivtechu v'cha yodei shemecha. And those who know your name, they should have faith in you. You have to have faith. Things don't go easily. Ki lo azavta doroshecha Hashem. Because you have never left those who seek you out. Hashem is always with people who seek to be with Him. Zameru l'Adonai Yoshev Tzion. Sing to Hashem, you the ones who dwell in Tzion, when Hashem will return to Tzion. Hagidu v'amim alilotav. tell over among the nations all the amazing things that Hashem did. Kidoresh damim otam zachar, because Hashem, who seeks out the blood of the Jewish people, He remembers all the blood that was spilled. Lo shachach tzakat anavim, He has not forgotten the yelling of the humble, the modest that were killed. And here we see a very important point. Tov Ramach does not say that people's blood will not be spilled. He does not say that humble, modest people won't be yelling. He says that Hashem won't forget, but He doesn't say it won't happen. People have a mistaken concept. They think that if I do what's right, nothing bad will happen to me. It doesn't say that in Tanakh. It says if the Jewish people do what's good, so then it'll be good for the Jewish people as a whole. But every specific individual, if he does what's good, then what's eternally good will happen. But that doesn't mean that what he feels is good will happen. And we also have a responsibility to run. If there's a time of danger, run. What did the prophets tell us? Lecha mi bo v'chadarecha. Chavich ki matrega ad yavo zam. Go hide, wait. Maybe in a second the anger will pass over. But if it's a time of danger, go hide. Every time there was times of danger, all our forefathers, they ran. A Jew is always supposed to have a present passport. You never know what's going to happen. So you do your best. But at the end of the day, you have to be prepared to run. And everyone ran. King David spent much of his life being on the run.
You hear stories of the Holocaust and rabbis going back to Germany to die there.
So you have to understand what was their logic. But in general, a person has to protect his life. V'chol ha'shaleish yiten bad nafsho. A person should give up everything in order to stay alive. Pasuk Yudalid. Chonineni Hashem. Hashem, please have compassion on me when I am now out in the galus. Re'eyon yimison ai. You should see how I am being afflicted by my enemies. Meromemi mesharei mavet. Hashem, who will uplift me when He redeems me from the gates of death. Leman asapera kol tehilatecha, that I'll be able to tell over all of your praise. We said, why is Dovid HaMelech speaking about telling the praise in the future? Because now he's by the gates of death. He sees the end. The end is in sight. And he doesn't want to die. So he says, Hashem, save me. I'll be able to praise you. Leman asapera kol tehilatecha, so I'll be able to tell over all of your praise. B'sha'arei vatzion, Agila bishuatecha, at the gates of Zion I will rejoice at your redemption. Tave'u goyim b'shachat asu, ultimately we're going to have redemption. We'll be able to praise Hashem and tell over how the goyim sank in the decrepitness that they made. They dug the pit, they'll be buried in it. B'reshet zutamanu, when they hide the net in order to capture someone else, they themselves, their feet were captured. Noda Hashem mishpat asa, Hashem made known when He does judgment. Befoal kapav nokesh rasha, when He makes it that the rasha himself falls in the stumbling block that He set up. Higayon sela, this should be told over for eternity. People should tell over how God causes the rasha to fall in the stumbling block that He sets up. Yashuvu resha'im lishola, the wicked should return to the depths of perdition. Kol goyim shechei Elohim, all the nations that forget Hashem. Why? Ki lo lenetzach yishachach evyon. The pauper, the Jewish people who are impoverished, will not be forgotten forever. Tikvat aniyim tovad la'ad. The hope of the poor is not lost forever. Ultimately, God will redeem the Jewish people. Remember, Dovid HaMelech is speaking before the first temple was even erected. He's speaking at a time where, theoretically, everything's good. The future is bright. Dovid HaMelech is about to build a temple. He's told that his son will build the temple. Everything's going to be very, very good. He's told he's going to be king. God tells him that his dynasty will be forever. They should just keep the ways of Hashem. Seems like everything's good. But with the special Ruach HaKodesh he had, he sees the future and he knows where we're headed. And therefore he talks about the time after the destruction of the second temple, the long gulus that we're in now. Dovid HaMelech is talking about how 800 years later, the Jewish people are going to be without a temple. They're going to be exiled, scattered around the land. They're going to spend thousands of years under foreign rule. And everyone's going to think that's it. Their hope is gone. And Avraham HaMelech says, no. The pauper, the Jewish people, right now they're no pauper. Avraham HaMelech is living at a time where things are good for the Jewish people. But he's looking 800 years in advance. And he's saying, then they won't be forgotten forever. Their hope, the thing that they should cling to, their hope, is not lost forever. Kuma Adonai al Ya'oz Enosh. Hashem, please, Avraham HaMelech davens, arise. Do this quickly. Don't let our enemy take strength. Yishafetu goyim al panecha. May the goyim be judged for the fact that they got you angry. Over here again, the Rashi discusses Esau, and the censors changed it to Amalek. We're holding chapter 9, the Pasuk Chaf Aleph 21. Shita Adonai mora lahem, yede'u goyim enosh heim asela. Avraham HaMelech davens to Hashem, he says, please, make them humble, put them down, so that they will recognize that they are only human. They think that they run the show. Let them know that they are only human, bring them down. Point to note,
is he talking about us or them?
He's talking about the enemies of the Jewish people. If you look at the cantillation notes on the word lahem, pasuk chaf aleph, those cantillation notes connote the biggest pause within a pasuk. In Torah reading, we're used to the pause that nachta being the biggest pause, the sign that's under the word goyim, that's called an etnachta. So in Torah reading, that's the major pause in a pasuk. But in Tehillim, that's a minor pause. That's the second most, that's inside a pasuk, that's the second most major pause. The first most major pause within the pasuk is the cantillation note on lahem. It's called an olev yored. And the way the pasuk would be read is, Shita Adonai mora lahem, yede'u goyim enosh heim asela. So the goyim is also a pause, but it's a smaller pause than the lahem. The lahem is lahem, and the goyim is goyim enosh heima. It's a slight lead-in to the continuation of the pasuk. Now, we read a pasuk Zayin, ha'oyev tamu choravot lanetzach. And ordinarily, you read about an enemy, you assume this is talking about a non-Jew. But there's a very interesting Gemara that applies this slightly differently. Read the Gemara. We're looking at the Gemara, the very end of Masechet Horiot. And the Gemara records the following story. We're going to learn the story. We're going to learn the Gemara with added explanation, because it's a Gemara that could be very easily misunderstood. The Gemara records a halacha about how one is supposed to arise in honor of Talmidei Chachamim. The Braisa says, Kshanasi nichnas, when the prince, the one who's running the show from the house of David, when he enters, kol am umdim, everyone stands. Ven yoshvim ad sheomer lehem shvu. They don't sit down until he tells everyone you could sit. Kshavbeti nichnas, when the head of the court walks in, osim lo shura achat mikan v'shura achat mikan. A row on his right and a row on his left, they arise. Ad sheyishev b'mkomot, till he sits down. Kshechacham nichnas, when a rabbi, a chacham, walks in, echad omed v'echad yoshev. Everyone who walks by gets up and sits down as he walks by. Ad sheyishev b'mkomot, till he sits in his place. But then it expands on it.
That's a cooler effect. It's like a plane. And then you can go back again.
You forgot it. Says the Gemara, we're skipping a few lines. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bimei Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel nishnet mishnah zo. The Mishnah is quoted from the times of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Nasi. At that time, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel was the Nasi. Rabbi Meir Chacham. The rabbi was Rabbi Meir. He was the chacham. Rabbi Natan of Betin. Rabbi Natan was the head of the court. Ki hava Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel hatam. When Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel was there, havukai mikuli alma mikamei. Everyone would arise in his honor. Ki hava ayli Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Natan would walk in, Avukami Kulialma Mikamayu. Everyone would arise in their honor. What was customed at that time was that everyone was given the same honor. The Nasi, the Avbeznin, and the Chacham. Everyone would stand up in their honor the same way. Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, Lo ba'al meve kera ben dili leditu. Shouldn't there be a distinction between me and them? I'm the Nasi. Halachically, my opinion is more weight than theirs, because halachically I'm the Nasi, and therefore my opinion is more halachic weight. We have to institute something to discern between the halachic weights between us, otherwise the people won't know. Tikein hamatnita. So he established this brisa that we just saw, that when he walks in, everyone stands, and they don't sit down until he tells them to sit when he's in his place. When the Av Beis Din walks in, he's the next one who has halachic authority. So then row by row stands up, and when the Chacham walks in, each one stands up as he walks by them. So he established this. By coincidence, and the Gemara is stressing it was a coincidence, both Rav Meir and Rav Nosson weren't there. Lemachal, the next day, Kiatu, when they came into the Bet Midrash, so they were accustomed to everyone standing up when they walk in, like had been beforehand. Chazud lo kamu mikamar kedergila milta. They saw that people weren't getting up the way they used to. Amre, so they said, my high, what's going on? Amre lohu, so they told him, hachi tiken Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. This is what Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel instituted. So they realized that Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel wanted to make known the difference of halachic weights between them and him, the different halachic weights each one had. Amale Rabbi Meir Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Meir said to Rabbi Natan, Ana chacham, I am the chacham, that of betin. You're the betin. Not kil milta, kil didan. Ma nevid, we have to arrange things the proper way, because halachically I don't agree with him. I don't think that he should have more halachic weight than we should. So what should they do? They said, Nemalei gale yuktsin. They said, let's ask him in front of everyone to give shir in the last Masechet in Shas, Masechet Uktsin. That's a tractate which discusses the little branch that stems from a fruit. When is that branch considered part of the fruit and not part of the fruit? When does it become Tameh and not Tameh? That's a very far-out Mishnah. He doesn't know it. We'll ask him, and he'll see he doesn't know it, and everyone will see he doesn't know it. And then he'll recognize, and they'll recognize that halachically we do know it, and he doesn't know it, so he's not one up on us, and there's no reason he should have this halachic weight that when he walks in, they'll all stand up, and they all know that halachically he has a greater halachic weight than we do to this extent. Everyone agreed that to an extent he did, but they didn't agree with the extent that he had it. And he said, look, we'll ask him, and he won't know it. And because he won't know to teach that those halachas, Nemale will be able to tell him, the Pasuk says and tell him, Mi malel gvurot Hashem, yashmiya kol tilato. Who could speak out the greatness of Hashem? Whoever could tell over all of his praise, Mi lemin el malel gvurot Hashem, mi sheyachol yashmiya kol tilotav. And being that you don't know all of the Shas, you're missing that one little small tractate, you don't know it, you can't teach it, can't give shir, and that Navre will take him off from being the Nasi. And I'll be the Avbezdin. Rav Meir is saying, I won't be the Chacham anymore, I'll be the Avbezdin, that Nasi. And you're going to be the Nasi. So that's what Rabbi Meir told Rabbi Natan. Shaminu Rabbi Yaakov ben Karshi. Rabbi Yaakov ben Karshi heard what they were talking. Amar din machas shalom al tamid tal de kisufa. He said, maybe, God forbid, they're going to embarrass him. Azali went, Yati vachorei ilite de Rabban Shimon Gamliel. He sat behind Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel's top apartment. He had a top floor. So Rav Yaakov ben Karshi went and sat behind the window. It was night. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was sleeping. Pashat garas v'tana garas v'tana. He sat by the window and started reviewing that small tractate and saying it again and again and again. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel hears someone singing something out his window. Amar ma'ida kama, what's going on here? Maybe something's going on in this matter. Something's fishy. Why is this guy standing out my window saying over this tractate again and again? So he said, okay, I'll pay attention. He listened to what the guy was saying down there. He heard, he reviewed. He heard the guy reviewing again and again and again. Oh, he hears it. Finally, he memorized. The next day, so Rabbi Natan and Rav Meir, they said to Rav Anshman Gamliel, make him have nitni buktsin. Our master come, let's learn Uktsin today. Patach v'amar, So he started rattling off Uchtzin. He just reviewed it the night before. He rattles it off. Batal Dukim, after he got up, they finished the class, he gave over the class. Amar lehu, he said to them, Iloga Mirna, if I wouldn't have learned it last night properly, Kasiftanan, you would have embarrassed me. Pakid, he gave word, Lafkinu mebet ha-medrash. They were kicked out of the Beis Medrash. So the top two under Rav Anshim ben Gamliel are kicked out of the Beis Medrash. Ravi Natan and Rav Ner are sitting outside the Beis Medrash. Havukat v'koshiyaita v'pitka v'shadu hatam.
Don't we learn that Rabbi Meir was one of the greatest?
Rabbi Meir was amazing. The Gemara says that there were certain Tanaim who said, the reason I know so much is because I saw Rabbi Meir's face. I once saw the holy Tana of Rabbi Meir. That's why I gave this whole edition the explanation that they were having a halachic disagreement here, because otherwise you read this, it sounds like a power struggle. And we're talking about the holiest Tanam. You're talking about people who could do Tchias Amazim. They could bring back people from the dead. You're not talking about people like me and you. Like, these were very, very holy people. This wasn't a power struggle. This was a halachic disagreement which came to play in the following fashion. And they sat outside the Beis Medrash.
So then why does he say, then you'll be Nasi and I'll be Avedin?
He was
like
telling him, halachically, he should not be on top, and we're going to show him that, and you should be on top, Rabbi Nassan. And Rabbi Nassan, you have to figure, was a contemporary of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's father, but I don't want to go into all that. That's for a different class. Mm-hmm. Let's continue. Havukat v'kushiyaita bepitka, they used to write their questions on the class in a note, v'shadu hatam, and they'd send it in. They were kicked out of the Beis Medrash, so they're sitting outside. They hear the class. As the class is going on, they'd write down their questions and send them in. Now you're talking about the top two. This was the Avdezen and the Chacham. The Ave Mefarke, Mifrik, Mifrik. Whatever answers they could figure out inside the Beis Medrash, they'd send back the answer. The Avu Mifrik, whatever answers they couldn't figure out, Katvi, Peruke, Veshadu. They'd write the answers if they couldn't figure out the answers inside, and they'd send the note in with the answers. So, Amar lehu Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi got up and protested. Torah mibachutz v'anu mibifnim. The Torah is outside. They're giving us the questions. They're giving us the answers. We're all inside the Beis Medrash. So Rabbi Yossi protested. Amar lehu Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel nailinu. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel said, okay, bring them back in. Mihu but niknesinu. We're going to tax them. They're going to be punished. Tilonemu shmaita mishmayu. We don't quote the halachas that they say in their names. And the Mishnah is from now on, whatever Allah that Rabbi Meir says, asikul Rabbi Meir achirim, they quote, anytime you have Rabbi Meir's opinion quoted in the Mishnah, they changed the Mishnah, and they said from now on, Rabbi Meir is going to be quoted in the Mishnah as achirim. So when you have in a Mishnah that the Mishnah says achirim, usually that's Rabbi Meir.
I don't mean to interrupt, but what about the mistake about embarrassing someone in public? Like, is that someone at such a high level, how can they think of doing this?
Good question. But Rabbi Natan, it's a very good question. Rabbi Natan, yes, umrim. And they change Rabbi Natan's quotes. No, I. That would take a whole separate thing. For now, let's leave it at that. It is a good question, and it's something to be dealt with. This answer, that answer, that's for a different time. They changed Rabbi Meir's name to Achirim, and Rabbi Natan, any time Rabbi Natan was quoted in the Mishnah, they would quote it as Yesh umrim. Achvulu bechalmayu, they showed them in their dreams, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Natan, were shown in their dreams, Zilu Paisul Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Go appease Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Natan Azal. So Rabbi Natan went, he got a dream, he was told from heaven, go appease Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. So he went and he appeased Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Meir lo Azal. Rabbi Meir didn't go. Amar divrei chalomot lo ma'alim lo moridin. He said, dreams don't make a difference. That's not halacha. I still hold that I was right. I'm not going to appease him. Rabbi Meir didn't go. Ki Azal Rabbi Natan, when Rabbi Natan went, Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel told him, Nei da'ahani lachkim ra'davuch lemehevi avbetin, shavinach nami nasi, the cloak that you wear from your father, meaning your father was a very, very honorable person, and you're continuing in his footsteps, you're a big Talmid Chacham, but you think that the fact that you're his son, that's why you're avbezdin. There are other Talmidei Chachamim, but the fact that you come from such a royal family gave you to be Avdezin, but you think that'll also make you a Nasi? No. I have the tradition, I come from the house of David, I'm supposed to be the Nasi and not you. And we see that the Nasi had a lot to do with where a person came from, not just how much a person knew. And that's
also
what I'm
sure. Rabbi Natan would be saying, he came from his father.
He's telling him, yeah, he's saying, you came from your father, that's why you're Av Beis Din, but that's not enough to make you Nasi. We pass on a generation. Matni la Rebbe, when Rebbe was teaching his son, he taught Rabban Shimon Brei, he taught his son the Mishnah, and he quotes them, Achirim omrim, Achirim say, ilo ayat mura, lo ayat karev. A quote in a certain Mishnah, he quotes them a Mishnah from Bechoros, and he teaches them that Mishnah, and he quotes the Mishnah, Achirim omrim, Achirim say. The same text that they text Rabbi Meir, that his name wouldn't be Rabbi Meir, kept going. We're on a different generation. One of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel's offsprings, Rabbi Meir, is teaching his son the Mishnah, and he tells him, this is the opinion of Achirim. Amalo, so he asks his father. He says, mi hem halalu?
Huh? It's a different Rabbi Meir.
No, that Rabbi Meir that he's quoting in the Mishnah, he doesn't quote him by name. He teaches his son, and he doesn't tell him whose opinion. He says, other people say this. Amalo, so his son asked him, mi hem halalu? Who are these people that you're quoting me when you're teaching me this Mishnah? Shememei manu shotim, we're drinking their waters. You're teaching me what he says. You value his opinion. You're teaching me his opinion. But we're not willing to mention their names. If his opinion is valued, how come you're not telling me who he is? You're telling me other people say. So Rebbe answered him, Bnei Adam, shebikshu la'akol kvodam uchvod bet avicha. There are people who, kvodcha uchvod bet avicha. There are people who want to uproot the honor, your honor, and your forefather's honor. You come from a certain house, I'm the Nasi, my forefathers were Nasi, you're going to be Nasi, Rebbe. Rebbe's telling his son, Ram Shimon, these are people that wanted to undo all that. Amalei, so he told them that's history. Their love, their hatred, their jealousy, everything, it's all gone. They're dead, they're buried. What's going on here? Amalei, so what did Rebbe tell his son, Rabbi Shimon? The pasuk we learned today. Ha'oyev tamu. The enemy, they're finished. Choravot, but the destruction they wanted to do, their swords, nanetzach, where our swords are out against one another for eternity. We see he applied this pasuk to Jews, to Rabbi Meir. He said that it's true, the enemy's gone. But even though they're gone, we consider the destruction that they wanted to do, their swords, forever. And that's why till this day, he wanted to quote it as Achirim. Amar lei, so his son answered him, "Hani mili hechadani masayu." That's only when they succeeded in destroying something. It says the destruction is eternal. Rabbanan, these great rabbis, lo ani masayu. They didn't succeed in destroying it. You're still nasi. I'm still nasi. Why do we have to do this to them? So that's what Rav Shimon answered his father. Hadarat milei. So then they changed back. Amru mishum Rabbi Meir. They say in Rabbi Meir's name. Ordinarily, every other Tana is called Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Natan Omer. They gave him the small text. That it's quoted as, it's said in the name of Rabbi Meir. To distance it a little bit. And that's why you'll find many Mishnayot. That is, Amru Mishum Rabbi Meir, Mishum Rabbi Meir Amru. You have many Mishnayot and Braitot because of this taxing. And here we see that Rebbe applied this Pasuk also to Jews. If someone causes a destruction, then we consider it for eternal. You don't say, oh, Gush Katif was last year. That destruction, that's history. There's no such thing as history. When we look at history, we say, you did a destruction, we take you to task for that destruction forever. We don't say, oh, it's nothing, or what happened, let bygones be bygones. No. The destruction, people's lives were destroyed, things were destroyed, we take a person to task for that forever. When do we forgive? That's a different class. But we have to know that there's an element where we say, wait a second, is the destruction finished? No, destruction is still there.
There's a fine line between God's hands and something we actually have control over.
That was done by humans.
Something that's already done seems to be that something you can do for it, get changed. So in a way, it's past the
Then what's to prevent them to doing it again?
It's not a question of preventative. No, that's not the point. The point is that we hold a person accountable.
People see like embarrassing us in public, like this is what happens. Even these great high people, like don't do it.
Yeah, it's a good morning. You have to hold them accountable, but it doesn't mean what happened was bad. I know that everything happened good. Anything that's going to happen is a different story. But
that's something we have to discuss. If you want, we could do that the next. We could stop now. We could go over to that point. That's a separate point. What you're saying. Everything in this world is good. We see that we do discuss in Tanakh, in Halacha, in brachos, in our prayer every day, we say there's good and there's bad. We do discuss bad. According to what you're saying, there doesn't exist the concept of bad. So we have to discuss that.
Well, you can't have the good without bad. You can have good without bad. In order for us to appreciate it, we need to have some sort of a negative. And in order to appreciate the good, in order to appreciate what we have God doesn't want to give it to us just on a silver platter and not understand the goodness of it. In order to understand the goodness of what we have to see some, like, coming out of the tribe. I mean, we had to be slaves in order to get the Torah.
No, it's a good example, because
everything God gives us is good. So, I mean, one way, whether we understand it is a different story. I mean, in general, everything that God gives us is good, right? And I mean,
it's like,
of course, we have to follow Torah laws, and we have to live the way God tells us to live. And
but the problem
so
is,
what is Torah telling us to live here? Should we forget it, or should we remember it and hold them accountable for it? That's what.
Question is the statute of limitations.
It doesn't seem. Generations later, he's holding him accountable for it. He's saying that they tried to destroy it. Let's review what we saw in this chapter of Tehillim. We saw that the chapter is discussing either the death of a son, the death of an enemy, Laban, the youthfulness of the Jewish people, that God affords us the ability to have our sins whitened out. Or we said regarding the death of David HaMelech's son. David HaMelech thanks Hashem. He says he's going to tell over all of God's greatness. When God finally saves him, he will do all this. He will rejoice in Hashem.
When we say his son dies, it's we're talking about Absalom.
No.
Oh,
it seems
you missed
like
the beginning. There was like six different possibilities. We have no idea.
We said that there is an understanding that it's Avshalom, but Rashi says he doesn't accept that. He says that when my enemies finally recede, when they are destroyed, when you do judgment, you will wipe out the enemies for eternity. Your throne of justice is eternal, and your justice is eternal. You're the one that supports people when things go bad. And then when you redeem me, then I will praise you and sing for you, and as will all the people who live in Zion, because then it will be revealed that you do remember the blood that was spilled. You do not forget the cries of the people that are oppressed. It's not that people won't be oppressed. It's not that blood won't be spilled. It's that God remembers it and will seek out those who did it ultimately and will not forget those cries. And therefore, King David is davening to Hashem, please see my affliction and save me from my enemies. Take me out from the gates of death so that I will be able to praise you with all the people of Zion. I will rejoice in your redemption. The enemies will fall and everyone will be able to praise Hashem when they recognize that the enemies fall on the stumbling blocks that they themselves establish. The enemies will return to the depths of Gehenna, and Hashem will show that He doesn't forget the poor person for eternity, but rather Hashem helps him out ultimately. And King David is davening that Hashem should arise finally and not let the sinners overtake. And people should recognize that Hashem is running the show. Yeah.
So based on the, I'm just guessing, I'm saying my opinion, but based on the rest of the Tehillim, it says, it seems like Laban was someone dear to David, and he was killed wrongfully by a sinner or something like this.
So they want to say that King David was singing and praying to Hashem that Laban should die. Lamtech almut, upon the death that he wants should die, Laban. That Laban should die. Laban is this great enemy of the Jewish people who wrought such havoc. Or, after he died, this enemy, King David spoke about the other oppressors of the Jewish people who were also waiting for them to be wiped out.
And Laban wasn't the cry of the righteous. Couldn't have been the cry of the righteous that Hashem should take
that. I didn't see anyone that says that. I didn't see anyone that says that. Okay? Okay.